Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I'm John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
With us today is Dion Gonzalez and Jeff Dorchester. They are the folks behind iRelate, a social media network for mental wellness. Welcome, Dion and Jeff.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Sure. So before we kind of get into what iRelate is all about, would you guys just give us a little bit of background on how you got into the social network and the sphere of mental wellness?
Yeah, sure. So it really all started a few years ago when I went through a health scare. I went into AFib, and that's atrial fibrillation. It's a heart condition that causes the top part of your heart to beat a heck of a lot faster than the bottom of your heart. But at the time, I really didn't know what the heck was going on, so it felt like I had a demon inside me. And after about a day, I ended up in the emergency room, and they thought that everything would just sort of get better by taking a couple meds, and they released me. But those meds didn't do anything, and I just kept getting worse and worse. And so about 3 days into it, next thing you know, I'm code red in the ER getting my heart shocked. And that was one scary moment for me. So the thing that they did tell me to do was go see a cardiologist, but the thing they didn't tell me to do was ask about taking some antidepressants. So just about anyone that goes through a heart condition has the option of looking at antidepressant drugs, because your mind starts going down a different road than it's ever been before, especially with what I was going through. They were telling me that I should have had a stroke. I shouldn't have been around that long after being in AFib for so long. And they just sort of let me go. So I had to go find a cardiologist and begin this whole new part of my life. But the one thing I didn't tell anybody was that I was starting to get depression from my anxiety around what was going on. And obviously there was this little moment of PTSD that I had been through. So I spent the next year and a half doing my best to hide it from my friends, my family, my coworkers, like Dion. I mean, Dion and I worked in the same office, literally a couple feet from each other. And I never told him about my depression. I never told him about the anxiety I was going through. Now, he could see the physical effects of these pills and what they had on me. Like, I couldn't walk from my car to the front door of the office without having to sit down and take a 5-minute break. So really what happened there was me spending about a year and a half spiraling into my own little cocoon, if you will, and trying to do what so many people do in the same scenario I was in, which is, you know, buck up, buttercup, or man up, as they say, and you don't have a problem, right? Don't show any sign of weakness, and just continue this stigma of mental health, right? I don't want anyone knowing what's going on. So it really led to a night where one guy on Facebook, I'm a part of a car group, and this dude in my group, he was spiraling one night. I could tell what was going on. You know, his comments were getting consecutively worse and worse and worse. And at one point he said, bye-bye, everybody, you know, see you in the next life. And I realized that was time for me to chime in. So I found the guy on Messenger. I don't know him again, and just spent the next hour talking to him. And he, after about an hour, said, thanks for saving my life, that he was going to kill himself again that night. And me talking to him had stopped that from happening. And I said, well, that's great, but what do you mean again? You know,
wow.
Most people don't say that. And he told me that a year prior, he was on the phone with the suicide hotline when he was in a depressive night. And it ended up, he was talking to somebody who didn't get him. Someone didn't understand what he was going through, didn't relate to what he was thinking. So he set the phone down and shot himself in the head. And his wife heard the shot, went upstairs and found him dead. Well, she called the paramedics and they came over and revived him. So now this guy was back with it, but a hole in his head, and quite a bit of a headache. So I spent the next 2 weeks getting in touch with him every day and saying, you know, what's going on here? Are you okay? And I'd say at the beginning it was pretty rough, but as about a week passed, things were better. And sure enough, at the end of 2 weeks, he was like, thanks, man. You know, you brought me out of this. So I knew at the same time that Dion was struggling with some family issues as well that he wasn't telling me anything about. And so one night I kind of had this epiphany. I was like, well, what if there was a chat app where people who did relate could talk to each other and they wouldn't have to rely on those scripted responses that you might get from a suicide hotline, right? Because all I needed, my whole struggle, was somebody to tell me, you know, first off, go see another cardiologist and get off those drugs. They're not doing any good for your heart or your mind. You know, that's the old school way of doing things. But also, you know, hey, this is all right. It's okay to feel that way. You know, this is normal. And it's not a big deal. It's not a problem to be able to talk about these things. But that place didn't really exist. So I called up Dion one night and said, hey, check this out. Here's what I'm thinking. And here's what he said.
I said, that's a great segue. I said, Jeff, I can't really talk to you right now because I'm dealing with some family stuff. We had a suicide, a haphazard suicide attempt in the house, and everything's fine. Everything turned out to be just fine, but it brought on a whole bunch of anxiety and depression and wondering what was going on and a bunch of mental issues that we all had to deal with as a family. And so we were dealing with a small episode that night, and Jeff said, well, give me a call back because I think I might have something that can work for what you're going through as well. And he knew a little bit about it, just not to the extent that everything that we were dealing with. So I called him back and started talking about it, and he told me the concept for what became and what is now iRelate. And as I thought about it, you know, he said, you know, I have a confession I need to make to you. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, well, I've been dealing with the depression because of my heart issue. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? I had no idea. You know, we're friends. We hang out. We work together every day, as Jeff just mentioned. And he said, well, I didn't want to burden you. And, you know, it's just not something you're comfortable telling people. And and at the same time, he said, well, I know that you're going through some family stuff. Have you told me everything? And I said, well, no. And he said, well, why not? And I said, I didn't want to burden you, right? So the light bulb goes on, and realize right then that the stigma exists in the silence, even between friends and business partners. So I said, well, let me sleep on this concept a little bit. We, you know, we're software entrepreneurs. We had sold a company, sold three, fortunately, and we were thinking of what we're going to go build next. So this was a little bit different. We had built marketing automation and analytics platforms based off of loyalty programs before. So that was really what we had focused on. So this was completely out of, you know, different from that. That being said, as I started thinking about it at night, going, because he called me around 10 o'clock, the market and the need was just so prescient. It's everybody is impacted by mental health. And so we talked the next day and said, let's go build this. This is something that the market really needs. And given our background in technology and being able to successfully put products out domestically and internationally, it just seemed to be the right thing to do, to use technology to make a positive impact on mental wellness.
So what's your background in technology? Like, where did you pick up from and start with the iRelate concept? Did you already have a foundation, or how did the ball get rolling once you had the idea and decided that this would be the next venture?
Yeah, so it really started that one night, you know, planting that concept of an idea. And you know, in the software world, we all know this MVP, this minimum viable product. And what is that? Well, especially with what our concept was, we were like, is this even a good idea? Is this going to fly? Is this going to work? Would people use something like this? I mean, I know I would, but that's the inherent issue all software entrepreneurs have. Am I building the right thing that is actually needed, right? So actually last November 1st, so we're coming up on a year, was the first day that I sat down and started writing code. Now, with the different stuff that Dion had built in the past, I had an upper hand on half of what I was trying to accomplish, which was the front end of things. I'm typically a front end developer. I know HTML and CSS very well. But I knew that there is a plethora of YouTube videos out there to help me learn the back end of this thing and figure out how to make all these connections work. And I said, you know, for at least the minimum of what we want to do, I think I can handle this. And especially not knowing if this was really going to work, we didn't want to throw a lot of money into it at the start. And so let's just develop this ourselves instead of pulling in a dev team, right? Because I think we can at least get it there. And then once we're there, we can decide, all right, what's next and how do we grow from there?
So what was the platform to start with? So you mentioned that you're mainly a front end guy and then you picked up some back end. So what were the technologies and
So we started the Ionic was the hybrid platform of choice that we had used plenty of times ever since before Ionic was around using PhoneGap for these hybrid apps. What we're doing wasn't super graphic intense. We don't need native code for a lot of what we're doing. It's a should have been a simple chat app, right? So using Ionic, the idea was, hey, I can handle getting this out to iOS and I can get it out to Android users with the same line of code. But now what am I going to hook up from a database, right? How am I going to get this thing working? So I was looking around and found Firebase from Google. And that was actually very easy to implement. It was super quick. They had a nice, I thought, authentication service and pretty good database. They could talk back and forth. And sure enough, it was very easy to put it all together and build the pieces at the start. Once we went through this programming and testing phase, everything was looking great until launch.
And were you using Firebase as a service as a backend?
Yes. So we're using our authentication services and using their database, their real-time database, and a couple of cloud functions as well to handle a few things.
Okay.
The three of us, Ash and Clayton and I, are historically .NET developers and big kind of Microsoft guys, but you two weren't, right?
No, we were quite the opposite, John. As a matter of fact, during our keynote speech with Scott Hanselman, kind of threw us for a loop and said, you know, opened it up and said, you guys were somewhat ambivalent about Microsoft before. And I said, no, we were actually Microsoft haters at a conference for Microsoft. So probably not the best thing to say, but it's true. And it was real. And the only reason was that in any of the previous endeavors and software platforms and products that we built, we leveraged open source tools that small to medium sized companies could build, start to scale until get to a point where you can exit. We didn't think that that was really available with the Microsoft suite until we started talking with Microsoft and they wrote a story about us and put it on their Microsoft Transform blog in February of this year. And then opened up a deluge of all these partner opportunities for folks specifically like us, like Microsoft for Startups program, the OCP, One Commercial Partner program, all of those things. So I guess the beauty of it from a Microsoft perspective, and we feel we're adamant about this too, is we came from the dark side of the force, if you will, and now we are 100% bought in on the good side of the force, and we're using a multitude of Microsoft technologies, Azure technologies, from SignalR to the translation API. Soon we're going to be working with some cognitive services and some AI and machine learning for sentiment analysis and things like that. So we're pretty much coming full circle, also implementing Dynamics from a channel sales perspective, because we work through partners to provide iRelate to their constituents.
Yeah, and I'd like to add, you know, one of the interesting things was, you know, we built this thing originally using Firebase, right? Yeah. And as soon as we launched, that's right when we started getting plagued with all these Firebase issues. And while you're in test phase, you know, and you're doing creating an account here or there, it wasn't like launching and having the real system get flexed. And I, you know, I hate to use this term, but it really feels like Firebase is sort of like a cool college project, and it's just not quite ready for the big leagues. You know, we started immediately having users that weren't able to authenticate accounts because emails weren't being sent from the system. We had issues with the database connectivity, cloud services being down. I mean, it was just this constant barrage of us thinking, uh-oh, is our app down? And no, it was just our service provider. So, you know, luckily after, like what Dion said, when Microsoft wrote this article about us, we started gaining some internal traction over there. And we met up with the product team, and this guy says to us one day, you know, hey, would you think about coming over here and trying Azure and leaving those guys in the background? And I said, no problem, right? Except, you know, how are we going to do that, right? So So that really started the fun of what we've been doing ever since that day, which is doing a full conversion over to Azure, and not just a baseline conversion either. I mean, this is truly making our platform scalable at a global level using enterprise technology and a proper data infrastructure.
What does that new platform look like?
Well, what's really cool is for the user, it looks exactly the same, right? It's the same UI, it's the same experience, a couple little different things with logging in and authenticating because we're using Active Directory B2C for that now, which is, for all intents and purposes, a heck of a lot cooler in the long run. But it also involved rewriting and refactoring the whole app, you know, using Firebase. The app was the smart app, you know, all of the computing was done in the client and literally just sent data to be stored in the cloud. Where now, using .NET Core scalable APIs, we're doing all that in the cloud and having a dumb app, right? That just lights up information. And using SignalR service and things like that, we're able to get that real-time notifications and chat going back and forth seamlessly. But it's really, really a lot cooler solution.
The other part to that, though, is the Translate API, which I mentioned. So we've got the ability to leverage that and communicate with folks literally all over the world. About 6.8 billion people is a number we can cover in 54 different languages. So that's a huge component. And we're actively talking with partners overseas now to start implementing this technology across the globe.
Wow. How difficult was that to integrate?
It was actually much easier than one would anticipate. In our previous lives, our marketing automation platform was in 18 countries, six different languages. And what we did, it was somewhat a rudimentary way. We got a localization file. We uploaded the localization file into the back end, and then we would have to go through and see if it worked. It worked for the most part, but there were some words that we still had to change. Calling an API that automatically will do this real time from English to whatever language back to your native language speaking, it literally is like a snap compared to what we did before. So it's been phenomenal to see how that was implemented.
Now, I would assume that you're doing that for the messages that are being sent. Are you also using that for like the static texting around the that's built in the UI components, or are those still more like a localization?
Yeah, both. So the way that the app is architected is we have rooms. Rooms are based typically on some type of mental illness or mental wellness condition, depression. It can be PTSD, any number of those. The other component, so we have rooms that will be translated based on your native language. When you join the app, you can put your profile, select your language. You're going to see your rooms in your native language. Conversations, as you mentioned, definitely you'll have the ability to translate those. So if I'm speaking French, I can see the language come to me or the text come to me in French. I can type in French and it goes back to you in English. But so conversations, rooms, and then we also have this group function, which is, think of it like a virtual Alcoholics Anonymous, where it's a group of individuals that want to talk on a more intimate level. You can do that. And so the text will be translated there as well.
Cool. That's awesome.
What's the quality of the translations? I know sometimes like translation engines get things a little wrong and the translations come out funny. Have you experienced any of that, or is it really, really high quality?
So far, it seems really high quality. We haven't launched that yet, so we haven't been able to test it in the real world, but it is using Microsoft Translate API. So from what I hear, that's what Skype uses. And that seems to be pretty darn good, from what I hear.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. And while it's not live yet, we are literally days from it being live. So we're very excited about that.
So you're still, is it still live or like the Firebase version?
The Firebase is still live. Okay.
So what kind of impact and traction have you seen? This is sort of not really a more technical question, but just, you know, you set out a really ambitious goal to make an impact, a really positive impact. So can you speak to the impact that you're seeing?
Yeah, so it's been an amazing ride. So I mentioned earlier this MVP, right? The minimum viable product. So when we launched, we said, is this going to stick, basically? And sure enough, it did start getting a lot of viral traction, because especially because Microsoft did this article on us on our launch day, which was quite nice. But immediately we started seeing and having people come to us asking if the app could be used in a different way. And these were different ways of productizing this that we didn't even think about. Because at the start, we were just thinking, hey, you know, this is going to be sort of some viral approach where one by one, people will come to the app and be there to help and heal each other. But what we started to find out is that we had partners coming to us saying, hey, I have a group of constituents that I want to serve in my community. So it started with a partner of ours, the Green Beret Association. They were the first ones to come out and say, guys, look, we need you. We've got a group of guys here that can't talk about what's going on in their head in public for various reasons. You know, one is the job. They're scared of losing it. They're scared of not being able to go back out in the battle and do what they do every day to save lives. What they want to do is they want to avoid these conversations. However, they were also these first guys to say, look, mental wellness is one of these things, especially with PTSD, that can be healed. They like to call it PTSI. They want to call it an injury. Because if you talk about things, if you work on your mind, if you try to fix it, it can be fixed. So what they said was, can we have a private room inside the app? We can just put our Green Berets. And we said, sure, let's do this. And before you know it, one after one, we kept getting other partners coming to us saying, hey, can you make a special spot for us? Because we want to make sure that these like-minded individuals get together. For instance, we started a whole section called the first responders section that allows first responders of various types, police, fire, dispatch, and EMT, to each have their own rooms so that they can be with their tribe inside the app. The thing about the app that I don't know if we've really explained is that it's anonymous. When you sign up and you go inside, you don't have to say who you are. And that helps alleviate that stigma. It makes it so people can go in there and say really what's going on in their head without that fear that I faced and Dion faced when we first started dealing with our issues.
You know, the only thing I would add to that, guys, is what we quickly realized by virtue of what Jeff was saying, these different partners we've got. State of Colorado is an example, City of Lakewood out here, first responders, a number of other partners that service celebrities, athletes, artists. We're doing some really cool stuff with a band coming up here very shortly that we'll announce probably next month, just to get the word out. But what we realized very quickly was mental wellness doesn't discriminate. And really, when you're looking at the impact, it covers people all over the place. Mm-hmm. And we've seen people in the app. One of the most heartwarming stories that I can think of from a personal level is there was a young man that's in the app. He was struggling. His parents had committed him to an institution, and he was literally going through ECT treatments, shock therapy. He's in the app saying, thank you for building this app. This is my only way to communicate to the outside world right now, and I'm really struggling. The notion when we built the app was that it would be a platform where peers could anonymously go in and help and heal each other. What we saw, thankfully we saw this, peers were going in and offering support, talking about their experiences with ECT, and to not really soldier on, but here are the things to expect. Here's the best way to kind of deal with these issues. The nice thing about it was he was there for about 3 weeks. Right before he was coming out of the institution, he was, you know, they were going to release him. He was struggling with how he was going to tell people where he's been. He's in high school, I believe. So the community said, look, you don't have to tell anybody anything, or you could tell them that you had an illness. You decide what you want to do. He came back into the app a couple days after that and said, thank you, everybody, for helping me. I went back to school. I told them that I was ill, and that everything is fine now, and everything is totally good. So that's an example that really hits home, because as we all know, you're building technology, you're typically building it for a purpose. When you find out that that purpose is aligned with your initial notion and what you created with that MVP, then it really sets the stage for you to increase the capability of it to serve a greater number of people. But that's so far, we've seen that impact, and we've seen those conversations happen time and time again in the app. And that was the whole intent. So it's that peer-to-peer talk therapy that's so important, and the impact that's being made is really beneficial for everybody.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, I've actually had to deal with some of depression myself. And one of the reasons why they do group therapy is that when you're actually coming out of it yourself, helping others, which is what is so cool about this, is one of the main ways that you can actually improve your own health. So I think this is fantastic. It's really awesome. Awesome job.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And that's something that we like to say is people are there to help and heal, you know, mm-hmm. And there is, like Dion loves telling the story of this cathartic thing that happens when you go in and you help somebody with that same issue you're dealing with. It's sort of like you become your own little internal coach, right?
Yep.
Because while you're giving somebody advice, there's a place where that's coming from that you're sort of giving it back to yourself. And mm-hmm. and it helps me when I do the same thing. So mm-hmm. so I totally agree.
Sounds like you're doing really good work there.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that at the beginning, you know, we looked around obviously to see if there was anyone else doing what we're doing. You know, is there another app already? And there wasn't. You know, there's a lot of other ones that go after a clinical approach to mental health. But what we have done is we wanted to go for that peer-to-peer approach. And that's really the big difference between us and the other players in the space. And we know that by not stepping into that clinical zone, we're hopefully going after a different person. You know, we want to go after that person that has decided maybe they're done hiding. Maybe they're ready to take a step. So many people don't want to make that massive, giant leap from hiding to finding a counselor or a psychologist or psychiatrist, you know, a professional in the field, because that is a huge, scary jump to so many people. And mentally is one of the issues, right? It's that huge mental jump. Hey, am I ready to tell anybody? Or am I ready to see a doctor? Am I ready to see a counselor? And inevitably they hide. The other reason is cost. It's so expensive to go out and seek a clinical approach. Now, while we aren't one, that's not saying that we don't agree with going after that route if you have the means or wherewithal, because that is so super important. There's nothing that can compared to going and seeking a professional. However, we all know that there are those times that crisis doesn't wait for an appointment. When you're having your down night, what do? You can't wait for next Thursday or three Thursdays from now when you're going to have that 30-minute or hour session with your counselor. Why not have the ability to get on an app and talk with other people about what's going on? And hopefully all those little times or those little baby steps that someone can take to not ever get to a bad spot. Because whenever someone's spiraled and they're in a crisis spot, that means that there were a lot of failed attempts along the way to try to help or try to stop that spiral. So we're hoping that by connecting people, we can stop those spirals and we can start the healing all at once.
Sounds fantastic. So you guys mentioned that the iRelate refactoring is going to be launching here pretty soon. You also have mentioned that they're both sort of done software entrepreneurship before. So I guess the question is, what's next either for iRelate or for the two of you?
Yeah, so I'll start on that. I think what's next for us are a couple of really cool things as it relates to iRelate, pun intended, I guess. And that would be to implement AI and sentiment analysis. So when you start with your MVP, you're validating, you're testing, validating everything that's going on with your app, eliminating some things, implementing new technology or capabilities that the market will respond to. One of the things that we know that we need to do is increase our moderation in an automated way and also prevention in an automated way. So the next thing on the product roadmap will be for us to implement some sentiment analysis to understand what people are saying contextually, so that we can escalate when we need to or prevent when we need to, moderate if we have to as well. So we have bot services that we're going to be implementing as part of that. And then we're going to utilize Microsoft AI cognitive services to do that part, you know, the sentiment analysis piece. So that will be next. There's a whole bunch of other things that we want to do. Jeff mentioned the clinical app. Shortly thereafter, I see some integrations into clinical apps where if somebody is spiraling within the app, cognitive services using bot services can say, it looks like you're struggling. Would you like to talk to a professional? Tap here. That will connect them to a clinical app that can then provide a psychologist or counselor because that person is obviously at the point where they want to do that. So those are a couple things that I see coming down the pike for iRelay.
Cool. Very cool. How about what about like some social media plugs? Is there a place where people can follow you guys or get in touch with you if they want to help out or just want to find out what's going on?
Oh, yeah. We're on Facebook at iRelate.org. We're on Twitter at iRelate.org. We're on Facebook or on Instagram at iRelate.org. And we're on LinkedIn at iRelate, maybe org as well. So you can find us just about anywhere there. But you can also find us in our own social network. I'm Jeff, and we got Big D over here. So if you ever come on in, feel free to friend us. And we're in there talking. We didn't do a MySpace and have everyone add him, automatically become friends with Tom. But if anyone knows him, maybe we can add him in the app and make that an auto connection at the start.
Are there any other resources out there that you might also suggest, maybe while you're researching this, that maybe additional items that if anybody is truly struggling, that they might be able to reach out or find resources locally to them?
Yeah, so in app, we have a third-party help link where each category of mental health actually has a link out to a third-party resource, and there are some fantastic ones out there. There's also a lot of global versions as well, so if you're hearing this and watching this from around the globe, you can find local resources that can help out. Along our journey in the last year, we've met so many wonderful people in so many different countries, all with the same goal in mind, which is to help people out there and make sure that everyone that needs it can find it. We've also met a bunch of people that are working within communities where what we'd like to say is the stigma is a lot stronger and a lot harder for people of those communities to even speak up and find help. So it's just super important to know that you're not alone and that there are resources for whatever you're dealing with and whoever you're dealing with. In your own community, make sure that you know that there are resources available that can help you and help you in ways that you might not expect. So it's been awesome. Also, if you go to irelate.org/ I think it's partners, you'll be able to see a bunch of the partners we are working with, and we're actively seeking new ones. We want to make sure that everyone out there can find the people they need to get the help they need. And one beautiful thing we've sort of noticed here is, and we even had this question in another interview was, well, what happens if you make someone better? They're not going to be your customer anymore. And I said, well, that's kind of a silly thing, but I sure hope I don't have any customers. You know, right. At the end of the day, if we all got through our problems, I think that would be a wonderful thing. But the other thing we all got to realize is there's a stat out there called 1 in 5, and it talks about how 1 in 5 adults will struggle with mental health in any given year. And like what I went through a dark spot for a year and a half. And I'd like to say that I'm hopefully out of it right now. I don't deal with depression on a daily basis anymore. So things do get better. But also, that doesn't mean that in a few years or in a few weeks, I may go through another spell, right? And that's something that is so hard to sort of understand if you haven't dealt with something, that it could come back. But when you surround yourself with people that sort of understand these things and start to talk about them, then we realize that that's not a big, bad deal, right? It's okay. It's okay to struggle for a little bit, but it's also okay to go out there and talk about these things because that's what helps. That's what helps heal. And that also is what helps get rid of the stigma. And that stigma is what makes so many people hide all the time.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for having us.
Much appreciated.
That was Dion Gonzalez and Jeff Dorchester, the folks behind iRelate, the social network for mental wellness.
If you like this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
Find show notes, blog posts, and more at sixfiguredev.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at sixfiguredev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others reach their potential. I'm John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.